Supergirl is now officially the worst performing DC film in the history of cinema. Less tickets sold than even Catwoman. And it turns out there was one person all along trying to tell James Gunn what he was doing wrong, gently, constructively. It's, of course, Dean Cain, the man from Lois and Clark, Superman himself. And now that it turns out he was exactly right, we're wondering, will Hollywood finally say, "All right, Dean, tell us, how do we save ourselves?" It's a great day. It's a groovy day. Folks, welcome back and happy Tuesday. It's the Pro Channel, where we keep you ahead of the culture curve. Dean Cain is with us today to help us do so, talking about how they blew it with DC and what they can do to stop losing it, an audience that's largely left after Supergirl. Hit the like button. Let's dive in right now. Well, they were making fun of Dean Cain. They circled the wagons against him, and the mainstream media said, don't listen to this guy, don't pay attention to his DC criticisms, which I think were actually remedies for how to get back on a better track. You can see here, if we go back, Graham O'Neill from a year ago, Dean Cain's embarrassing criticism of New Superman. I'll play just a minute of it. Hang tight, folks. Here we go.
But it doesn't make any sense. And that just doesn't make any sense.
So, a few days ago, when new Superman David Cornsweet revealed that he reached out to former Mans of Steel Henry Cavill and Tyler Hoechlin for advice before playing the role, I joked that
Mans
I understood
of Steel.
Why David didn't continue down that former Superman list.
Now, it doesn't matter what it is here necessarily, except that...
kind of a hatchet job was that edit anyways, right?
Oh, I'm telling you, they need to work on it. But this guy right here, it was, I think, indicative of Hollywood, and he's not the only one by far. I mean, look at this. Out of the Hollywood Reporter, the trades were coming after you, Dean, a year ago, saying, is Dean Cain right? Well, this is actually a bit earlier this year. Is Dean Cain right about Supergirl's earrings for once? And I just want to say, they really... needed to put you down because they went with two editors, not one. I mean, they had to do their research. Benjamin Svetke and Julia Saint-Anne popped in here and said, for once, the former Lois and Clark star turned honorary ICE agent makes a semi-coherent pop culture point. So you, one time is all you've ever done it, Dean. This was before, by the way.
The one time.
This is before it bombed. So you've been consistent in saying there's a problem here, there's a problem here, there's a problem here. And they, the Hollywood elites, have been consistent in saying, screw you, don't listen to you, nah, we're not going to do that. Well, here we are. And I think that you've been right on the money the entire time. Paul Tassi now declaring that Supergirl is the worst earning DC movie since 2004's Catwoman. But if you scroll down and you look, he actually admits it's way worse than that. Supergirl beats it 108 to 82. But if we go down, we see, if we can find it, adjusted for inflation, that would be 149 for Catwoman. So adjusted for inflation, Catwoman makes 149 and is actually above Shazam and way above Supergirl. Supergirl is the indefensible lowest film ever in terms of tickets sold for DC in the history of cinema. So, Dana, I wanted to get your thoughts on this because you have been telling them, you know, I think in a very kind and generous way, you've not been mean, you've not been rude, you've just been saying, guys, there's a few tweaks here you can do, and you can fix all this, and you can have a great run, and they didn't want any of it from you. So, Dean, now, are they listening?
No, they're not listening. They're going to continue to do that and preach from their high horse and say how awful I am. I mean, the funny thing about the former Superman turned honorary ICE agent is that's their whole point. Is that my politics don't align with theirs because I'm a federal agent, because I'm a deputy sheriff, or because I have the patriotic, you know, I have a red, white, and blue behind me. I got the flag of America, and I stand for truth, justice, and the American way. They don't like those things. They're not the things they're pushing, and that's the problem. You know, I think the part of the trailer for the one sheet, the advertising for Supergirl was truth, justice, whatever.
Yeah.
That just turns my stomach. Because that's not clearly it's not what people want to see, because it did so poorly. Worse than Catwoman. Whew.
Yeah, and not by a little.
And if you adjust for inflation, I mean, come on.
It's a whipping. And I was making that comment about the earrings, you know, in jest. I thought that was kind of funny. You know, they said somebody brought it up. Hey, how did you get your ears pierced? I thought that's kind of interesting. I thought they would address it in the film. They probably did. But the vitriol that comes back if you critique these things, oh, my gosh. They just come at you with everything because they want to keep everybody shut up and they want to scare you into submission. And I refuse to be scared into submission. So I could say, ha ha, Nana Boo Boo on you. So we'll see what they say. I don't root for things to fail. But if you go out and you denigrate Christian fathers and dads and Americans, you're getting what you put out there.
Kind of the same thing with Disclosure Day. I mean, the Spielberg strategy there was to come out and say it's going to make you question your faith. No, I think it made people question Spielberg because both of these films have been financial disasters. But Dean, I want to specifically ask you about the James Gunn situation because this is movie number two for DC. And at least in terms of under James Gunn, this is a franchise that has been reset over and over again. And so folks say, I don't know how we can do that again. If they get rid of James Gunn, I don't know how we start over again because people are fatigued with the origin stories. So Dean, given that you from the beginning were offering pleasant and kind suggestions for them on how to get things right, and considering they did a 180 from everything you said, and considering we see where they are now, what would you say at this point, given that they didn't take their medicine, given that they didn't listen to the doctor, now the patient is in a much more severe place, what do they do? Do they keep James Gunn? Do they let him go? Do they start over? Do they keep some of the personnel they've got? Do they, like, what do we do with DC?
Well, I think, first of all, I will say that I'm a big James Gunn fan. I liked Guardians of the Galaxy. It was amazing. I don't know that translates to what he's doing with the DCU now. He and Peter Safran, who I actually went to college with, but is a few years ahead of me, they have tried to rebrand the DCU in a way that I don't think works for the DCU. And I'm not being, you know, critical because I played Superman or anything of that nature. I just don't. I knowing the character and knowing how I feel about America, I'll tell you how they could fix it. I'm not saying that they got to get rid of James Gunn and the whole, I think they're probably going to bring in the crash cart now and try it and do something. But I think it's pretty simple. You make a Supergirl that loves America, stands for American values. You throw Sydney Sweeney in that outfit and you make $1 billion.
Oh, Dean goes where I wasn't sure he would. Yeah, that might do it, eh?
There is a fair point. The traditionally, Supergirl has been pretty good looking, you know? That's kind of a key to the character. She's supposed to look like the Danny Blonde who could also throw a car at you.
Mm-hmm. Well, so let's play with that.
A couple like that, and they're worth it.
Let's play with that, though, because it puts us in dangerous territory if we start criticizing the looks of Supergirl. But I don't think we have to, because in the film, in talking about just the aesthetics of who she is and what is attractive about her, in the film, they have this character pee on screen. They have this character vomit repeatedly, forcibly, purging on screen. And in one scene, she stops and there's an alien bug that's defecating. And that is some kind of candy. And it's at least strongly hinted. I think she does eat the stuff. I don't understand why anybody thinks that's appealing.
And you're telling me this made no money? What? Shocking. How did that work?
It's every recipe we've heard for how you succeed in Hollywood. I don't know.
I haven't seen the film, so I'm going to trust you on that stuff. But doesn't scream Americana to me. Doesn't scream Supergirl in that sense. I think they were making it for, well, clearly not the movie-going audience because they didn't get that right. I think they're in trouble. I do think if they were, you know, if we were talking about doctors and things, they would have to bring in the crash cart now, because at the end of the day, it's a business. If you're not making money and you're not doing it right, I mean, there's a reason that Top Gun Maverick came out and saved the theater going experience at the time that it did. It didn't try to be political. It's not shoving everything down your throat. You don't have to do those things. I try not to. I mean, I'll do it in some of my films and some of them I won't. It depends on what you're doing. But I think for Supergirl, it's just all wrong. It is truth, justice in the American way. It is Americana. It is patriotism. And the fact that they even changed it from truth, justice in the American way to truth, justice, and a better tomorrow, or whatever the heck they did. It doesn't work.
Well, another part of the reason for that is DC was really wise in setting up Superman and Batman as sort of two sides of the same coin. They're both looking for justice, but they have a different outlook on things. So when you're doing their team-up comics, it's always fascinating to see the interplay between both of them, because Superman is the Boy Scout, whereas Batman has all of the Boy Scout tools and skills, but not exactly the same outlook on human nature. So if you try and make Superman less of a square the way that they would say today, he's not Superman anymore. That's what you need there is that core of Americana that came from his parents in Kansas.
Yes.
Right. This is one of my notorious opinions that always gets me in trouble. I actually don't like the Krypton stuff. I actually really like the farm boy who yes. happens to be from Krypton. I don't like the Kryptonian who pretends to be a farm boy.
Agreed.
He's much less interesting to me if he is, it gets a little Game of Thrones to me when you start getting into Zod and all that stuff. That's fine for a movie. It's good to have somebody super strong to fight Superman. But this is a guy who is supposed to be the most normal American person that you can imagine, but he's also the strength of a god. I love that. And they hate that so much. I mean, even Marvel couldn't stand to keep Captain America completely full of integrity. They had to have him cursing and making and other stuff by the end of Endgame. I don't think they relate to the idea of traditional American values. They just kind of want to chuckle at it.
Yeah, you couldn't have hit the head on the nail on the head any more clearly than that. One of the things that I say about even with Lois and Clark is the reason he is the most moral and upstanding and wonderful friend and helper and person out there is because he was raised in small town Kansas with small town American values, which I hold completely dear to my heart. Whether I played the character or not, I just love the fact that I have, and I hold those values as close as I can. But you're dead right. That's it. I think the farm boy from Kansas, which is why Smallville was so popular and did so well, that part is much more interesting. And I agree with you 100%. Krypton, no, I don't care so much. I care more about the character guy. What's that?
I am using this in every argument I have with my friends from now on.
I'm with you.
100%. Superman agrees with me.
Let me toss you one more idea, Dane, as we wrap this particular conversation. I'm curious your thoughts on it. So one of the things that I think might be happening here and one of the miscalculations they may have made is that on the heels of so much postmodern neo-Marxism, on the heels of so much girl boss, we're going to throw away the hero's journey and instead the world has to acquiesce to what the main character wants, right? The character starts off perfect and the world has to accept them for who they are. That's the inverse of the hero's journey where the hero realizes that they're inadequate for the dangers and the dragons that they must face and they have to rise to the occasion. And we role play through that. Okay, and so that's like the benefit of the storytelling from a societal level. That's why we go to the movies. That's why we gather around the campfires and listen to stories is because we face the dragons inevitably that will happen to us, but we face them first through these characters that we play with. Dean, what I think has happened here is I think that audiences and society perhaps are exhausted with these anti-heroes. And that's not to say there's anything wrong with anti-heroes from time to time, but I think we've been focused on anti-heroes and characters that start off without a single flaw. I think we're tired of cynicism. I actually think that society is exhausted after the last 10 to 15 years of this. And we kind of want heroes again. Like we want to know there's somebody you can believe in, like somebody you can turn to when times get tough. And who knows, if you worked hard enough at it, maybe it could be you. And that's what I think might be happening here, but I'm not sure. Do you see that across the country? You've been doing a lot of traveling. You're talking to a lot of people. Is this what you see?
I mean, you nailed it right there. And it goes down to a very simple phrase: truth, justice, and the American way. That's it. And if that was out there, if that's what they're pushing out there, if that was there, I think people are ready to hear that now. It's a very interesting time, to put it mildly. The world is shrinking incredibly. Something happens on the other side of the world. We see it right now, live. Everything is happening in real time. The idea of globalism, I think that fails. I think that America is that shining city on a hill. And I think that, you know, the World Cup was a really interesting time right now because we had all these people coming over here, hearing all these awful things through our media and their media about how terrible America is. And all they found was a wonderful, lovely, unbelievable experience with a country that is the greatest in the history of mankind and has more things and stuff and geography and wonderful people than people can even imagine. So, I go back to that. I agree with you 100%. It's all truth, justice, and the American way. I do.
My favorite part about the World Cup and the Europeans coming and that cognitive dissonance being broken, my favorite part about that was it didn't seem to matter geographically. And so that gives me actual hope, okay? Because that means that the average person, whether you're in Miami or Boston, which are nowhere near the same, but the average American is still the average American. And it's good to be the average American because it's exceptional. And so I think that was an exceptional moment for the country and for the world. And hopefully that creates a lot of goodwill and inspiration. So, Dean, hopefully DC learns a thing or two from you, and maybe the trades will take a break and say, wait a minute. I think they can say those
horrible things, and they'll never say we were wrong. They'll never say that. They can just make those attacks, and it's just gone. I'm not going to say I told you so, but I told you so.
Parting is such sweet sorrow, ladies and gentlemen. It's only made sweet because there's more content on the way. We never stop. It drives the Holly Weirds mad. But we've got decades left in the can, and we keep going and going and going. Oh, wait. Are we showing our cards? That's right. We'll never stop going near and far and sending out the content you love. Folks, you can help us continue to do just that. Smash that like button. Drop a comment down below. Let us know your thoughts. And until the next time, keep learning, keep growing, and as always, keep having fun.